This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. Today, we continue with our recollections series, and we're going to be talking about Matt Judon, the outside linebacker, longtime Raven. It was Raven for 5 years anyway, and the guy who picked him is my co-host for Friday Morning GM, Vas Larikos. Vas, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. Looking forward to discussing one of my favorite players. He was a recent player, but I think still unappreciated by the fan base. A fifth-round pick out of Grand Valley State turned into an all-pro and four-time pro bowler. Quite a story there.
Yeah, definitely one of the real great late value picks. He's also, if you look at value to the Ravens, he's really the Ravens' last great small school pick. And this is it's kind of a strange thing, because I really expected when the scepter shifted from Ozzie to EDC, and now EDC, of course, has the last call on all picks, that it would be less in the way of there'd be more in the way of small school shots taken, particularly in the later rounds, because DaCosta had done such a marvelous job of setting up the scouting to really look at those closely. And there were other people involved. I'm sure maybe Douglas or others were involved in that. And it was just more done in a previous era. But Matt Judon from Grand Valley State, and the other, only other one they've had really since at all, is Zach Seeler from Ferris State, who was great, but he's been great with the Dolphins, and he was actually cut by the Ravens. So you can't count him, I don't think, right, as a Ravens draft pick.
Right. That does seem to be DaCosta's shifted there, maybe trying to stay ahead of the curve in certain ways. And maybe that's one of the ways he's done it. Hopefully he can improve his day three drafting soon.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's at least three tiers to where you draft. You can draft in the Power Five, and there's a heavy, heavy predominance of that now for the Ravens. And you can draft in the other Division One, quote unquote, schools. That include the Sun Belt and what used to be the All America Conference, and the other ones that are not major ones. Oh, I guess the Pac-2 is no longer a major conference anymore. But so I guess we might have really the Power Four now, unless there's another conference emerging that I'm not aware of.
I think eventually it's going to be the power two with the Big Ten and the SEC and nobody else, because all the, even the ACC is facing lawsuits, and Florida State's trying to leave, as well as Clemson now too. ACC may be reduced to a lesser tier pretty soon as well.
Clemson trying to get into the SEC or the Big Ten?
I think they're going SEC, but it's not quite disclosed. I think the SEC, they already have a footprint there, I guess, with the Gamecocks, but they want to expand. North Carolina is the real prize, I think, for both of the big conferences.
Okay, right. They would either, both of those would want that. It's all about the market, by the way. It's not about the teams. The Big Ten didn't want Maryland because of their football program. They wanted them because of the market. You know, they're the DC Baltimore market. It's a sweet one. All right, back to Matt Judon. Somebody played 76 career games for the Ravens from 2016 to 20 with 34 and a half sacks. You know, we sometimes forget how good a pass rusher he was. And I think in part of that is that he dropped the coverage on a fairly high percentage of pass plays. Not as much as Bowser, but it was almost 24% of his pass snaps that he dropped the coverage, which means his overall sack rate was 2.1%, which is significantly higher than some other players. Jadeveon Clowney, 1.3% career prior to this last year. You know, Tyus Bowser, 1.7% career, but Matt Judon, very impressive in terms of his years with the Ravens.
Indeed. You know, he fit the mold of the Terrell Suggs, Adarius Smith, more recently now Jadeveon Clowney, just that big body power rusher, but with remarkable ability to drop into coverage. He was one of the most likely outside linebackers to drop into coverage in 2019. And he could really do pretty much everything as a true three down run defender, edge setter, coverage, and being able to come forward. And as we'll get to, I guess, a little further in the episode, Wink Martindale started deploying him in some unique ways to really maximize his pass rush towards the end.
Yeah. It very, very much a guy, tremendous versatility. And the Ravens, obviously, you know, most teams can't get one Sam linebacker who can really effectively drop the coverage, and they're hamstrung in certain ways in terms of how they can be flexible with their rush. Because one of the major ways to get a free runner is to use a zone blitz, drop one of your outside linebackers and have somebody else rush the quarterback, whether that's slot corner, inside linebacker, or safety, primarily being the three choices. And the Ravens had that in spades on both sides of the line with Matt Judon and Tyus Bowser playing together, just an embarrassment of riches. And it was honestly, to me, very predictable that Judon would go from the Ravens to the Patriots, who also play a very similar defensive scheme where they love to drop a linebacker from one or the other side on a lot of plays.
I remember specifically you saying that when you and I were doing one of your other shows right before he hit free agency, and I was really pounding the table to try to bring him back at that point. And as soon as you said that, I knew that the odds were much less than I was hoping for.
As a coverage guy, allowed just 5.9 yards per target in his Ravens career. That's remarkable for an outside linebacker. There, you wouldn't find in the history of the NFL, you would not find a lot of outside linebackers. And when I say history, let's look at the last 30 years who've had that kind of success in coverage that Matt Judon had.
Yes. It was remarkable the way he was able to do that, especially with Bowser on the other side. Just a tremendous benefit, as you mentioned, to the Martindale defense to have that flexibility.
Now, you know, I don't think a discussion of Matt Judon can come up and without looking at this and a trend of what kind of has happened with some of the departing Ravens players, is that there is a little bit of saltiness, and there's a lot of salt. There's a shaker full of salt with Judon in terms of his feeling. Did not want to be put on the franchise tag, and he was. And I understand that. No player wants it. But I think he really was hoping that a long-term deal would accrue from it, and that was not the case. The Ravens didn't sign him. And then he went on to say, you know, the Ravens never signed any of their young players, and we're eventually going to be 50-year players at some point. They never signed any of them. Well, that's crap, too. You know, the Ravens obviously signed their share of their stars, and they didn't obviously have room to do it for him.
Yeah, maybe that's the trend, that the Ravens are not going to extend their outside linebackers. Maybe that's a decision they made. I think Zadarius Smith was sort of a similar player to Judon that walked, I believe, 2 years previously. I'd like to discuss the 2018 playoff game in particular, where I thought Judon was the best player on the field for the Ravens. 2 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits, and 57 snaps. Mind you, this is with Terrell Suggs and Za'Darius Smith still on the team and C.J. Mosley still on the team. All three of those players depart in the great linebacker exodus of 2019, and Judon becomes that premier apex guy at that point. And I really thought he carried down the torch that Ray Lewis passed to Suggs, who passed to Judon for those remaining 2 years after when Suggs was gone, but Judon was still here.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't say he's the same kind of vocal leader, but he certainly was the same kind of incredibly high quality outside linebacker that gives you a level of play there. Suggs is just, he's a special cat. Anytime you're at camp, you always knew exactly where he was because he was yelling something funny. And it's not a given that young men who are athletes are going to be so naturally funny as Terrell Suggs was. It happens sometimes. You get lucky, and then you have other guys who just, you know, they can't put a sentence together, and it's harder to you know, be funny when you can't do that. You know, a good sense of timing and whatnot. By the way, a little bit of an offshoot here, but Maureen and I watched a movie the other night. We watch a lot of movies completely on spec. We don't know what we've got. Mm-hmm. Recently added to Netflix, that kind of thing. But we watched the movie Bottoms. Have you happened to seen it?
I have not seen that one. No.
Okay, it's about two young girls who start a fight club at their high school because they want to meet other girls. They're lesbians and they want to meet other girls involved in this. And they started as kind of a self-defense class. Anyway, the whole plot of the movie is irrelevant. The funny thing about this is Marshawn Lynch is the faculty advisor they get from. And who would think that Marshawn Lynch could act? He's absolutely freaking hilarious. It's worth just watching him and all his lines through the show. The guy is just freaking hilarious. And he's got this way of babbling nonsensically. And you just laugh hysterically because he's like responding to something. And he goes through this like free association way of talking. It's beyond funny. And I looked and apparently he won all kinds of awards for his work already in the movie. It's his first movie and worth a watch. And I don't recommend movies like that. You know, it's really a young adult movie, but it's funny from that perspective.
Okay. I'll jot it down. I think Judon did have some of the same personality elements of Suggs. I had a press pass in the 2019 season for training camp, and I got to observe him up close and personal. And he did have a lot of that big, boisterous personality, that brash personality. Also had some of the physicality and even crossing the line physicality that Suggs had at times. As we remember, he was kicked out of the Steelers game 1 year for bumping a ref when he was trying to back up Marcus Peters on the sideline argument. I have a quick training camp story about Judon. They were having the joint practices with the Jaguars that year. And this is, again, they lost pretty much their personality with Suggs and Za'Darius and Mosley. And, you know, that was the Judon was kind of the leader. They lost, I believe, Weddle as well that year. So he was sort of the vocal leader, at least, along with, I guess, Brandon Williams. But they were doing a goal line against the Jaguars. And Leonard Fournette punched in a touchdown and then started yapping. And a lot of the Ravens sort of cowered away. And Judon got right up in his face and put him in his place. And as a person that fell in love with the Brian Billick Ravens, I appreciated that brashness about him.
Yeah. Now, there's two things about that. The first is that it's a lot easier to step into a leadership role when there's a complete vacuum of leadership, as there was on that 2019 team to start the thing. You mentioned all the players who left. How about the player who came, who was a certifiably non-leader in Earl Thomas? Absolutely. Not a leader. You know, it's not like somebody could come up to him on the bench and talk to him, and we saw little snippets of that and whatnot, but Earl Thomas is not a guy. You don't even want him leading. And, his own personal response was, I don't know why they need me. They have Chuck Clark kind of thing. And Chuck Clark, much better leader, and really tried to put Thomas in his place at one point. But anyway, it's an interesting thing because Suggs was a leader himself, and he almost was in a position to delegate his successor in a certain way. And one of the ways in which he would do it is he'd drive onto practice in that golf cart that he stole from Machete. And he'd bring at various times it was different players, but by the time he was leaving the Ravens, it was Brandon Williams was his passenger side guy. I don't know. It seems like Suggs should have a driver or whatever, but Brandon Williams was the guy who rode the passenger seat with him. But anyway, training camp has a lot of funny stories, and you can observe a lot of things that are going on the field, which will tell you a lot about how the team interacts with each other just from how these players are.
Yeah. Sure. Well, now explore the top two or three guys. They don't join the field until after calisthenics has been completed. Some of them, Humphrey and those kind of guys. But back to Suggs, just his play on the field. 4 sacks in 2016 for a fifth-round rookie, pretty solid. Jumped all the way up to 8 sacks in 2017 with 800 snaps. That's another point I wanted to make. He played a lot of snaps for an outside linebacker. Almost 800 snaps in 17, almost 700 in 18, another 800 in 19, and then about 620. I think that was the COVID year plus injuries. But a lot of sacks, a lot of production. 2019, I thought, was his best season. He finished third in the league in quarterback hits that year. And the second most pressure that was converted into turnovers, whether that be a forced fumble or a pressure that directly caused an interception.
So that I very significant statistics there. And I'll start with the snap count component, because right now the Ravens are working like hell to find three guys who could each play about 67% of the snaps. And you can fill both your outside linebacker spots, obviously, with that. They also have some other guys who are filling in some early down snaps. But the Ravens very much believe in rotational play. Keep pass rushers fresh. Don't keep them on the field all the time. And there was no combination of those three guys that they were uncomfortable with this last season. So you saw a lot of Van Noy and Clowney and Van Noy. So you could do it any of the three ways, and that was it was a beautiful situation to have. Matt Judon, part of the problem with him and also with Pernell McPhee at times was he was both the Ravens' best outside linebacker as a pass rusher and as a run defender, and then those are the guys you tend to start overplaying. And that becomes a problem. They did have that with Clowney last year, I think, but they did find a way also to keep him off the field and keep him fresh. And that was part of what made him, I think, a good player. You mentioned the COVID year, and he missed a couple games due to COVID. I think that's one of the things that might have made a contract extension more difficult during the season. Now, of course, so
this is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In 2020, he's playing on the tag, so he can't be signed to an extension after July, I think it is, right? That's usually the cutoff point for that. So they couldn't have done it during the season. But he had some anti-vaxxing comments he was already making, I believe. You know, I don't want to put that in my body. You can't make me do it kind of thing. And I think a lot of the players who took that stance, and there's still people who, you know, obviously out there who claim it's not a good idea. And there's some studies that will tell you not the greatest thing, but in a world where we have to have people vaccinated in order to keep their elderly population alive, it's a really important thing for people to subject themselves to this. Anyway, he didn't want to do it. He missed two games due to COVID. A lot of the Ravens did, so it's not the end of the world, but I don't think it helped him in terms of the Ravens and the way he left on kind of a sour note.
I would agree. And there was also some sort of controversy with a joke or something or other with Jameson Hensley about a strip club or something when they were potentially negotiating a long-term extension off the franchise tag year. He played well that year. That was the year. So 2020, Judon played under the tag. And one of the few players that played under the tag and did not get the extension long term eventually. Made the Pro Bowl. And that was the year Wink started deploying him as like an A-gap blitzer and almost giving him free reign to choose what gap he wanted to hit, which is pretty interesting deployment that you've seen it with a few other players. But like Myles Garrett, I did some of that last year. Judon was tasked with that, and he also had a big play in the playoffs. He was a big game player. You know, he had the strip sack of Allen in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kept the Ravens in that game in the first half. You know, it was still, I think it was 3-0 at the time when that happened. But the A-gap thing they've done with a lot of players over the years, and it works best with a player like Bowser or Judon, who's also fine if you want to drop him to coverage there and play one of those shallow zones. Mm-hmm. But they've also done it with Haloti Ngata and try to get him a running start, which is just an evil and violent thing to do. But it's something Ravens fans were certainly loving at the time. I did not love it for the risk of Haloti getting injured, by the way.
Right.
But I thought it was a very fun strategy to see employed it has a predictable response of some low contact from offensive linemen who cut block is the natural thing you'd want to do if you saw Haloti Ngata rushing at you.
Sure, sure.
Went on to New England, and honestly, most players that I look at for the Ravens, particularly guys that they brought in and they reclaimed off the scrap heap, and then they go somewhere else after that, so it's kind of they're in the middle of that sandwich. The Ravens have typically, you know, scarfed the value. And another player would be, they signed him to the second contract, even though they also had him originally, was Adalis Thomas. The Ravens got most of the cream off his career before he left. Absolutely. The years with New England were less. But Matt Judon is the one exception to this. New England's gotten real value out of him. He's had 32 sacks in 38 games with New England, continuing with great pressure. And the Ravens, sorry, the Patriots have really known how to deploy him.
Agreed completely. So that was the big debate the year after 2020. And PFF came out with some graphics about how it was mostly scheme pressure and he was mostly beating tight ends and his, you know, pretty much straight average of 8.5 to 10 sacks a year was maybe not going to be constant and steady. And then he goes to New England and puts up 12.5 and 15.5 in back-to-back years. So there's been a few. I would probably put Za'Darius Smith in that same bucket.
Yeah.
And I would probably put Ryan Jensen in that same bucket as well. And maybe not Ricky Wagner, but he's close. But there haven't been a lot. But there have been a few that got away that did continue to play at the same level or even a little better.
Okay, so the rule for what I'm saying Okay. And I'm defining it is that the player provided tremendous value relative to cap for some team. And usually it's like we said in the Friday morning GM this last week was that it's very hard for a free agent ever to really provide a ton of value. But Judon is a rare case where his value in free agency, and particularly considering the year he played under the cap for the Ravens, in a lot of ways, Match stands up very well on a value per dollar of cap spent versus what he did with the Ravens. In terms of Ryan Jensen, no doubt about it. Ryan Jensen's fourth year with the Ravens are worth a ton more than whatever he did with Tampa Bay, because all of that he did on a massive contract.
Okay. I follow what you're saying now. Well, that was the other thing, because some people thought Judon was going to be asking for $20 million a year. I think that it was even – that might have actually been what sparked the thing with Jameson Hensley. I think they put out a report that he wanted $20 million, and he ended up signing with New England. I think it was about $13 million, if I recall, per year, which was less than pretty much all of us were expecting and anticipating. Now, that was the COVID cap year, which depressed values for a lot of players, but I think that they did give him a raise off of that amount, but it was a relatively low number to begin with. Mm-hmm.
It would have had value and certainly would have changed the course of Ravens history to still have Matt Judon around. I'm sure he'd still be playing for the Ravens today on that contract, assuming it was a 4-year deal that he signed. I'm not 100% sure that's true, but anyway, how about some of the biggest moments? And you picked him, obviously. I have a couple of really big moments that we haven't mentioned so far. Tell me about some of your favorites.
I mentioned most of them, but he did earn the Defensive Player of the Week in Week 11 of the 2017 season with the 2-sack, 1 forced fumble, 6 solo tackle game against Green Bay.
Yeah, that was a game they won 20-0. It was, I think, their third shutout of that season. So, you know, playing on a really significantly talented defense with Dean Pease there. Two other big ones. First one is a lesser of the two. Is he registered 2 sacks at the Meadowlands in the 2016 loss to the Jets? Those are his first 2 career sacks. So you get a great game with that, but they lose that game to the Jets. They lost to the Giants. I forget if they lost to the Giants the previous week on the long Odell Beckham reception. I believe it was his rookie year where Weddle tripped up Tavon Young, and
Jimmy got hurt in the first half.
Yeah, they played consecutive games at the Meadowlands, and you know, okay. I remember because we went both of those horrible, miserable affairs. The second one is as well known to me for them misspotting the ball after a blocked field goal. So they had a 11-yard misspot, and the Ravens didn't catch it, and they could have challenged it. That sucked. So number two is really one of the great moments of all time, but this is one where Judon couldn't get out of his own way a little bit on this one. He had sacks on 3 consecutive plays against the Raiders in 2018.
Yes.
So you remember the play, and maybe you want to talk about the story in terms of what happened after that third straight sack.
Yeah, he ran into the tunnel. He was celebrating all the way into the tunnel.
And that's exactly what he did. And then the Raiders had to go for it on fourth down. And he missed his chance for a 4th consecutive sack. And the sacks on 3 consecutive plays, by the way, had only happened at that time once since the merger. I don't believe it's happened again since. It could have, but I don't believe it has. And the 4 consecutive sacks would have been a first time ever. So if you're wondering who was the victim, it was the right tackle rookie Brandon Parker, who gave up all 3 of those sacks. Needless to say, Suggs had a fairly easy time karate chopping his hands away on those 3 sacks. Very effective taking care of the rookie on those plays.
Yeah, a lot of his sacks came in bunches, but I think his pressure was much more consistent. Although he didn't get home consistently and it was more bunched up, he was providing 2-3 quarterback hits pretty much every game.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that is Za'Darius Smith was the same way. By the way, I think he had a year with, you know, just a couple of sacks and a whole bunch more quarterback hits. At least maybe that was a mid-year number. But you know, the guy who's got that reputation already right now is Owe. Is he never gets home in time? Blah, 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 blah. No, Owe is providing tremendous pressure. You look at the Ravens' overall turnover margin and whatnot last year, and they led the league in turnovers and sacks. Owe is a big part of that. Owe is a big part of moving the quarterback, to get follow-up sack, Matabike being a big beneficiary of it, and Owe is a big part in generating turnovers that come off of pressure. So I think that's a lot of what probably happened to Judon here as well, with some of the lower sack numbers, and he had more sacks than Owe, so it's I wouldn't,
right,
you wouldn't think,
well, and back then they didn't have necessarily collapsers on the interior either like they do now. And I think that depressed some of their numbers as well. And as we saw, when both of those players departed and went to maybe a little bit more aggressive defensive fronts, their sack numbers jumped, as far as Zedarius in Green Bay and Judon in New England.
Yeah. All right. Really, really, you mentioned the 2019 season as Judon's best, but during the last seven games had 4 forced fumbles and 5.5 sacks. Of course, the Ravens are on that big 12-game winning streak. They won the last 7, obviously. And, he was a very big part of the defense that year. And it was a defense that got completely rebuilt on the fly. You know, people will forget that, they had it. They had Peanut Owusu slated to start an inside linebacker, and that did not work out. And they were able to make the switch to having a combination of Bynes and Fort primarily as their inside linebackers, along with a lot of dime play, and really got the job done. They found 2 additional defensive tackles off the street. And of course, the big thing, they got Marcus Peters in the Kenny Young trade.
Right. Yep. And that allowed them to rotate Brandon Carr, and he could help him out on the back end. Chuck Clark could come down, and Chuck Clark was the signal caller, because obviously Peanut couldn't handle that. And yeah, it worked out great. Unfortunately, they couldn't get over the hump that season, but one of the best regular seasons in team history for sure.
Yeah, and a very good defense. You know, they were about 4th in DeVoe that year on defense. You can't be first in everything every year, and including defense, even if you're the Ravens. And that was a very good team. Is the single most effective offense in NFL history per dollar of cap spent. And one of the greatest ever, just period. You know, 3.08 points per drive, but per dollar of cap spent, there isn't anything else that would raise its hand even to try and compare itself to the 2019 Ravens.
After the 2019 season, the Ravens had an MVP quarterback on a rookie contract, a All-Pro left tackle on a rookie contract, a Pro Bowl right tackle on a rookie contract, their outside linebacker Judon on a rookie contract, and Marlon Humphrey, all pro corner, all at the same time. I don't think they'll ever be able to replicate that.
It's very difficult. So Humphrey's
I'm sorry, and Mark Andrews as well. Mark Andrews as well. He was also on a rookie cut. So they had stars at premium positions on rookie contracts almost across the board.
Judon was moving over to being a franchise guy in 2020. Mm-hmm. So it was like, if you're talking about in 2019, they had
right.
all of
sure, that's, yeah, what I, that's what you mean. That's a better way to say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then even their high played player was Marshall Yanda, who's at the end of his contract and, you know, was making peanuts relative to what he was worth at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. That was a unique situation.
Matt Judon's career, there's just like that point that you need to make about him that we haven't so far?
No, I just think he was under, as I said at the opening, I just think he was a little bit underappreciated. Would have liked to have him back. I'm glad to see that his career's, I'd like to bring him back when his contract expires with New England to be that next mercenary stopgap outside linebacker of the Ravens pipeline eventually. Just one of my favorite players. I like the way he played. I personally enjoyed his personality. I know it rubbed some people the wrong way, but I liked it. Some of his celebrations that he would have were kind of fun. Not that I really care about that too much, but they were kind of fun to see. And sort of passing the torch down from Suggs, from Lewis, from Ray to Suggs to Judon. He really fit what I see as playing like a Raven. My personal, not just the John Harbaugh version, the whole history of the franchise version.
All right. Well, absolutely a pleasure getting to talk to you about Matt Judon. Clearly one of your favorites and one of mine as well. A great Raven for a lot of ways. But Voss, tell folks where they can find your work online.
Sure. I'm at Twitter, X, at Vasilis Beatdown, V-A-S-I-L-I-S Beatdown. And I am the co-managing editor and author for the Baltimore Beatdown blog.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do a recollection show just like this, would love to have you on. In particular, want to have some people to talk about the players before the year 2000. I can go to some of the local media. Keith Mills has been around forever, and Mike Preston and players like that, people like that, could do some of those players. But if you know them, or if you're younger and your dad knows them, you know, your older brother knows them, whoever it might be, you want to talk about Wally Williams, or you want to talk about Vinny Testaverde or Michael Jackson or Derek Alexander, or Ernest Biner, any of those players from that era. I particularly want to talk about it. There's even a dearth of people now who really remember well the Ravens of the 20 aughts. Kelly Gregg, you know, it took probably 20 people who wanted somebody else before Kelly Gregg was picked. Hmm. So it's a little unusual that I don't think of myself as being old still, which is wrong. But I also know that there are still a fair amount of people living who saw the Ravens of 2000 and forward. And I would hope there'd be more people who'd be wanting to talk about those players. But anyway, if you know someone who does, really appreciate the connection. If you would. Voss, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.